Wallace Shawn has written numerous plays, of which Aunt Dan and Lemon and The Designated Mourner are probably the best known. He's also acted in dozens of films. He visited the show in September to discuss the DVD release of the film My Dinner with Andre, his collaboration with Andre Gregory, directed by Louis Malle, and of his first collection of nonfiction called Essays. We thought that we would rebroadcast that conversation again today. I start off by noting that he makes his living as an actor and playwright, and I asked him, what inspires you to sit down and write an essay?
Well, it's only happened, a dozen times or so.
So this represents all of your essay output so far?
Except for, maybe some very short scraps that are not worth preserving. I suppose it's just occasionally I feel that I actually understand something, and I've reached an age where I realize that I don't know, I'm old enough to have the right to an opinion just as much as anybody else, and I'm thinking things that are totally obvious, but I look around and nobody else actually has written them down, so I do it.
And then somebody publishes it. You've divided the book into two parts, reality and dream world. How do you define these two concepts?
Well, most of the pieces are about political things,
Well, I'm not always sure whether that's reality or dream world.
Well, I mean, I do write quite a bit about political fantasies.
Mm-hmm.
I spend most of my time, writing rather poetic plays. That's not meant as a compliment. That's just a word that defines them as opposed to sort of brutally realistic plays. And, I live in a fantasy world most of the time. I mean, as you say, I made a living as an actor playing characters in other people's fantasies, and then I write my own fantasies. I spend most of my time writing plays, really.
But it seems to me that the issues you write about in the reality essays are also the questions at the heart of many of your plays. How can we, as intelligent people, justify the terrible injustices and inequalities we see in the world?
Well, all of that does come into my plays, inevitably, just the way if you go to sleep at night and dream, the things that you've seen during the day come into the dreams.
Well, add to that quandary what we can do about them without giving up our privileges as citizens of the developed world.
Well, we will have to give up our privileges.
We will.
I mean, we can't... if we're seriously concerned about... oppressing other people, we probably will have to give up our privileges.
In the reality section, you include an essay from 1985 called Morality. Was that your first essay?
That was the first, yes.
It was originally published as an appendix to the play Aunt Dan and Lemon, which has been seen by many people as a defense of Nazism. Do you see morality as the central theme of the play?
Well, I don't know if too many people saw the play as a defense of Nazism. I suppose if you don't understand it, you would.
Well, I mean, anybody who knows you would know that you're not defending Nazism. But when we talk about matters of morality, we're not always clear as to what we can understand and what we can't understand.
It's certainly in a play, it is very interesting to play with the audience a bit and see how far you can get them to see within themselves the way in which people can be lured into thinking that leads to evil behavior.
There's a more recent essay called The Quest for Superiority, which covers some of the same ground. How can a well-off person justify the fact that his comfortable life is made possible by the sweat and suffering of most of the world's population? How has your thinking changed between the writing of those two essays, or has it changed?
Well, it has changed, really, because I think I went in, you know, 25 years ago or whatever, I was just beginning to see my own role and the role of the people I know and my friends and the people I grew up with in the world. You know, when I was in my 30s, I still thought there was plenty of time to think in a leisurely and even amusing way about these subjects. When I got into my 40s, somehow I was able to see that I was the beneficiary of a status quo and a system that employed violence and torture to keep the poor of the world in line, and that I was not only integrally involved, but that the very things that were fun in my life were often privileges that had been won at the cost of other people's lives. So, you know, I have changed.
In your play, The Fever, a well-off intellectual travels to poor countries to try to understand his relationship with the rest of the world. What can theater do, and what can an essay do when you're addressing those kinds of issues?
I think it's we mostly are living in an illusion. We're propagandized by the tiny elite that runs our country, and we're surrounded by false ideas. And I think that it's important for us to wake up, and plays, essays, books help us. You know, not one play or one essay or one book. And I would be the last to say that I have written the essay or the play that is going to help somebody wake up. But overall, it's useful.
You also talked about this in the film My Dinner with Andre, and I'd like to play a little clip.
I'm really quite self-satisfied. I'm just quite happy with myself. I just have no complaint about myself. I mean, you know, let's face it. I mean, there's a whole enormous world out there that I just don't ever think about. And I certainly don't take responsibility for how I've lived in that world. I mean, you know, if I were actually to sort of confront the fact that I'm sort of sharing this stage with the starving person in Africa somewhere, well, I wouldn't feel so great about myself. So naturally, I just blot all those people right out of my perception. So, of course, I'm ignoring a whole section of the real world. But frankly, you know, when I write a play, in a way, one of the things I guess I think I'm trying to do is I'm trying to bring myself up against some little bits of reality, and I'm trying to share that with an audience.
Is that still your feeling about your theater work?
I'm surprised that I put it that way. No, I think today I am more, I would describe my theater work as really allowing an audience to enter into the craziest part of my own unconscious and let the chips fall where they may, that perhaps some kind of truth will come out of that, that is uncontrolled by me.
Well, you said that 18 years ago, and the film has just been re-released on DVD by Criterion. Have you looked at it again? Do you think it still holds up?
It's too intimate a portrait of the past for me to be able to look at it. It's too painful because Louis Malle captured more than I thought I was revealing about myself.
Well, you really worked well with him. You may be as good as any Vanya that ever was because of a film you made with Louis Malle.
Well, that was Andre's, work as a director over 3 or 4 years that Louis Malle captured so beautifully. And that, too, is painful to watch because both Andre and Louis lured me into revealing more of myself than I ever would have wanted to.
Well, isn't that what actors do?
Yes, that is what they do. Although those, sometimes performances are, don't go that far.
Now, you were doing it as a piece of theater originally. So were you as aware of it going that far when it was not being filmed, or was it only after you saw the film?
It was only after I saw the film that I realized what Andre had tricked me into showing, I suppose.
Wally Shawn's book, Essays, is published by Haymarket Books. We are talking about the essays and the career. You've acted in lots of popular films and TV shows, The Princess Bride, Toy Story, Gossip Girl, among others. So is acting your day job?
You know, it's.
I mean, you have 125 acting credits listed in the Internet Movie Database. That's a lot.
Yeah. Well, it actually has not comprised that many days of work, if you want to really know the truth. It's, when I'm doing it, I don't think about anything else. I'm giving myself 100% to that, and I forget the other life that I live. And in a way, when I'm writing, I forget that I'm the same guy who is the dinosaur in Toy Story.
But has the acting that allowed you to write plays without worrying about whether they are commercial enough?
Yes, it's definitely worked that way in my case. The issue of writing to please a large audience is not something that I haven't really devoted my life to that. And the acting has definitely paid my bills. And if it hadn't come along, I don't know quite what I would have done to support my writing.
You mentioned that many of these essays are about politics, and they concern your dismay over the way this country has been run in recent years. One called After the Destruction of the World Trade Center, which was written in November 2001, consists of an exchange of letters between the foreign policy therapist and the United States of America. What do you imagine these two entities are saying to each other?
At that time,
a foreign policy therapist?
Well, I don't know why that metaphor came to me, or if you call it a metaphor, but I was terribly upset at that time, and I feel I was right to be upset that the nation as a whole decided to have a militaristic response to this terrible event, and to absolutely refuse to listen to any possible meaning that the event could have.
But the conversation is with the United States of America. Do you think there is any one single United States of America? Right now, it seems to be so fragmented.
Well, unfortunately, there are actions that are taken by our government that are assumed to represent all of us. Of course, they don't. I mean, there's a small group of people, rather like in China, who run our country. There it's called the Communist Party. And here it doesn't have a name, and it doesn't get mentioned on the news. And yet we're not running the country. They are. So the idea that, you know, there is a United States of America is a kind of fiction. Totally.
It wouldn't have mattered whether nobody believed there were weapons of mass destruction, something you also deal with in a couple of the essays here. We still would have probably gone to that war.
Well, it's very mysterious how our country is run, you know, and who's running it. Very mysterious.
You also, in the Dream World section, include essays about your life in the theater and particularly the fact that many people come out of your plays looking befuddled.
Well, I do, there's in these essays, there's a certain amount of me, and inevitably, if I'm caught off guard, I complain about the fact that people don't like my plays or they don't understand them. I don't really think they necessarily should. I just, in an off moment, have to complain about it.
You have a new play, Grasses of a Thousand Colors, which recently opened in London, directed by Andre Gregory. So despite the fact that he tricked you into revealing a lot about yourself, you remain in collaboration?
Well, he has a profound understanding of me. And, you know, actually an actor should reveal himself. And he has a profound understanding of my writing.
Which has been getting great reviews in recent years, we should point out. What can you tell us about this new play?
Well, it's has a lot of animals referred to in it, and it is a somewhat mythological pageant, I suppose. And I would be thrilled if I could see it in New York. We did it with Emily McDonnell and Jennifer Tilly and Miranda Richardson and me. And it's a four-character play. And, some people liked it better than anything in the world, and some people wished they'd never been there. So we'll see.
Well, I felt the same way about Shrek, so what the heck. Wally Shawn's book Essays is published by Haymarket Books, and I want to thank you so much for coming by again to talk with us today.
It's always a thrill. So great to see you.